Full of Sound and Fury is a podcast for adults by adults containing adult language. Listener discretion is advised. It's going to be an intimate episode tonight.
I guess so.
Yeah. Hey, welcome back to Full of Sound and Fury podcast, sponsored and unsponsored in part tonight by our presenting unsponsor, AMC's The Walking Dead, which cannot figure out how long they're to make an hour-long episode, or how many finales to put in a season. I'm your very proud papa host, Cyrus Mortazavi of Kirkland, Washington. Online with me from Austin, Texas, is the inimitable Ariel Rodriguez.
Hello.
Hopefully joining us later, already in progress, will be Keyshawn Xavier, also of Austin, Texas, just as soon as he corrals his children into bed. Please send him thoughts and prayers. All right. Some stuff has happened since last we spoke.
Yeah.
Some we knew was coming, some we did not know was coming.
Yeah, that one big surprise is quite shocking in a way.
Yeah. Yeah. We're, of course, referring to Brian Michael Bendis, longtime writer at Marvel Comics, defecting to DC Comics in the near future.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if he was going to go anywhere, it would be there. Maybe he would have gone fully independent, but I mean, the move makes sense from 10,000 feet, but wow. Just wow.
That would have been my read as well. Him doing Mark Miller did, going just full blown, you know what? I'm out of corporate. I'm just going to do my own stuff from now on.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, he goes to the redheaded stepchild of comics.
Although apparently they're doing better. I think I've only read the first issue of Dark Knight's Metal, but it was pretty fun. Okay. I do plan on reading the rest. Not that I'm reading line-wide a bunch of their stuff, but Mr. Miracle was interesting as well. I don't know if I mentioned that in the last episode, but...
No.
Those two books. I think Mr. Miracle is written by the same guy that... his name escapes me right now. Shoot, Tom King, I think?
That would have been my guess. Everything good is coming from him these days.
Yeah. He wrote Vision, right? The Vision, Vision story.
Yeah.
And I think he's writing Mr. Miracle now. I read the first issue of that. That was pretty good, so... Maybe, they're turning a corner. Now they got Bendis. No one really knows what he's going to write. Should be interesting.
Gal Gadot helps.
I mean, some people were rumor mongering that, part of the reason why he moved was to get more involved with the movies and the TV shows. Seems like that could be the case.
After being excised by Bob Iger from Marvel Studios.
Yeah.
Interesting. Or was that Feige? I forget.
I guess Feige went to Iger to get Marvel Studios moved out from under Ike Perlmutter's influence. So
that's
kind
right.
of a combination of both. Maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
Iger signed off on it, but it was Feige's move.
Yeah. Yeah. And the whole Powers thing kind of fell apart after two seasons on Sony's PlayStation streaming service. So
right.
Maybe he wants to make another run at it. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I know that the name of the series is Scarlet is in development.
Yeah, for TV, I think, like on FX or something like that.
Yeah. That sounds right. And I don't know. He's teased that there's some news coming on that as well.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah. I was really impressed by how quiet this bomb drop was.
Yeah, nobody leaked anything or said anything, and then DC just came out and said it.
Yeah. Crazy.
I guess he's got another month at Marvel from what I'm gathering from his tweets. So he'll probably, wrap up whatever he needs to wrap up storyline-wise. And then I assume by the end of the year we'll know what he's working on at DC.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Given how far ahead he works, then that would suggest this has been under wraps for a while. Then,
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, you're right. You make a good point. He is usually pretty far ahead.
Yeah, and if he really is about to be dodging out here within a month.
Yeah.
They've potentially been sitting on this for a while.
And, you know, kudos to Marvel. I think, you know, Joe Quesada made some good comments. And Marvel, I think their own account, maybe he made like a very short statement. It seems like everybody's really being really classy about it, thankfully. You know, as comics can be pretty unclassy at times on That's social media. So yeah. I'm kind of glad to see everybody being a professional about it.
Yeah.
So what do you think he's going to write?
Well, that's the most fun question, right? As we try to figure this out, as we're going to publish here, it hasn't been announced yet, like we just said.
Yeah.
A Gotham Central revival makes a lot of sense.
Oh, there we go. Get that hard, the crime drama type stuff.
Yeah.
That he likes to do.
Batman, thanks to the aforementioned Tom King and who you alluded to, Scott Snyder, is in really good hands these days.
Yeah, although right. Snyder's moving away apparently from Batman.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. There's some rumor about him writing Zatanna as well. That's been floating around. Yeah.
That's interesting.
It would be cool to get kind of a revival of the character, maybe kind of move her in a different direction. So who knows?
Yeah, no, I could see it being really good. This is probably weird, but I really like the idea on Superman.
Oh. Like a witty Superman?
I think Lois Lane would be phenomenal under his care. And I don't know why that popped into my head at first thing, but that is where my mind went.
Huh. Okay. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, he's during his time at Marvel, he did a lot with the Daily Bugle that was very interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
So, if anyone could make the Daily Planet, you know, look like a viable concern, I would think it would be Bendis.
Mm, good point.
Yeah. But, you know, he's dipped his toes in enough stuff over the years at Marvel. I mean, you could make the case for almost anything.
Yeah, I mean, he's touched. I mean, it's hard to think of something, a property at Marvel that he has not touched.
Yeah.
At this point, so.
Like the Hulk?
I guess. Yeah, it's the one area maybe he hasn't really played with. But, I mean, from X-Men to Iron Man to Spider-Man to all the Avengers. You know, he's kind of done almost everything.
Yeah. How about you? Do you have like a wish list for him to maybe do?
I mean, that rumor about Zatanna is really interesting because I feel like he could almost partially reinvent the character and make her more prominent in the DC universe than she has been. The Gotham Central thing, actually, I hadn't thought about that, and that sounds really cool. I think just Batman in general, since it's darker and his Daredevil stuff was so great, you kind of want to see him kind of dip his toes in there a little bit and see what he can come up with just in general.
He supposedly, God, this would be almost 15 years ago now, but maybe not that long, but over 10 had a Daredevil Batman pitch.
Really?
Yeah. That, DC was not down with because there was bad blood between them and, Jemis, and I believe Quesada as well at the time. So Damn. They shut it down. So clearly there's some affection for the character there.
Yeah. And, you know, I kind of almost like want to see him pick something up just way out of left field and just like put his spin on it and just kind of grow his own little mini universe around some random character. They have so many over there that he could really kind of pick a bunch of them that have kind of
so many slid away.
Yeah, okay. Fair. That's fair.
I'll say it so you don't have to.
and just kind of, you know, build it out. I mean, who knows? It's just the sky's the limit. And, you know, he keeps Instagramming like all of his reading research and it's like all over the damn place. So there's no clues. It's just, I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
He did tweet a picture, a reading list that he was working on. It was like, you know, 20 graphic novels high.
Yeah. He's posted a couple pictures of just like stacks of hardcovers.
Yeah.
And then they're all over the place.
Yeah. About Legion of Superheroes.
Huh. Yeah, that could work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sky's the limit. It's exciting.
Right?
I got to say, you know, it is pretty exciting to see him move over and splash there. So I hope it does, and I hope it goes well.
One thing that bodes well for him in the transaction is because DC does have kind of a house style artistically,
mm-hmm.
they should be able to like pair him with artists that can just crank out the stuff at the rate that we know he can work at.
Oh yeah, right on.
So if they're smart about that, and I suspect they will, he should be able to be as prolific as he wants to be.
That would be cool.
Yeah. I know he viewed, at least for most of his tenure at Marvel, he viewed those very much as his runs as partnerships. So if they ran hot, he was like, he would usually let them run hot.
Right on.
Especially when it came to like the monthly, not the monthly things, the event titles.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Like Lineal U is pretty fast, right? So he loved working with Lineal U because he would just bang out.
Oh yeah. Pencils. Yeah. He's very fast. Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know who's writing Green Lantern these days. That could be wacky and interesting. I tell you, you just put Bendis in any one of those spots and it brings more interest to the title. It just does.
Yeah. He's very good with supporting casts.
Yeah.
Just in general. And DC's got some good ones.
That's true.
His Flash could look very interesting.
Oh, man. Dude, yeah.
Man, if anyone can make Iris West better, please.
are you watching this season at all of The Flash?
I am. Okay. God, I hate her as much as I ever have.
Really? She's got a little bit more of a more meaty role this season.
That's true. She's not. I don't know that she's. I personally don't find her more endearing or more tolerable.
Okay.
Am I wrong? Are you?
I think personality wise, she's the same. Maybe she's just a little bit tougher, so she's kind of the leader now, which I think is kind of cool. But I don't think they've spent a lot of time developing her, so you know, I think you have a point.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice that, as you point out, she does have a raised daughter now. Besides just being like,
yeah,
object to Barry's affection.
I mean, they haven't mentioned her being a reporter almost at all. Like this just kind of when people need a decision, she's just there and deciding for them. But okay, you know, if that's the way they want to take it.
Yeah.
I think Caitlin's getting a lot more work this season in terms of character building than
yes.
characters.
Yeah. And Danielle Panabaker has been up to the task for the most part, I feel like.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. It was good to see Katie Sackhoff again.
Yeah, with a British accent.
And apparently a bucket of metal.
Yeah. That's all the budget could allow.
Here's my question about that character. Like, if she wants to ever do anything cool, does she have to carry that bucket?
I don't know. And why a bucket? It could have been like anything. It could be like a Louis Vuitton bag. It could
right.
be like,
yeah, a messenger bag.
Yeah, a backpack, anything.
One of those luggages that has the wheels too, so you can
roll around. Spinner luggage.
No, she has a bucket.
A red wagon. Could have been.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very strange. It's good to see her again, but I have some questions, like why they didn't kill her or turn her over to any authorities. They just let her go.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I've been enjoying actually the people they've been bringing in general. Danny Trejo coming in as Preacher, yeah. AKA Josh.
Yeah, the name just slayed me at the end.
Oh yeah, I'm enjoying it. All right, well, here's the uncomfortable question in the same ballpark. Are you watching Arrow?
I am, absolutely.
Okay, I'm not. Yeah. I've been seeing the recaps, and I have to say that they sound intriguing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they definitely are playing. They're zigging instead of zagging. Like that, you know, you see so much zagging on that show. They're going in a different direction.
Yeah,
there's still, you know, some similar tropes built into everything, but yeah, they're keeping it interesting. Yeah.
And that's okay, I think, for this kind of show to do that. Otherwise you'd get season four.
Yeah, sure.
You know, like you don't want to go too far off your menu.
Yeah, and I think because Oliver's mayoral stuff, it's not like they've like really, really focused on it, but they've built it up enough that the intrigue there keeps him relevant while all of the vigilante shenanigans is going on in the background with the rest of the cast. So I think they're right now anyway. I haven't seen the last episode from last week, okay. But they're juggling people pretty well. I kudos to the writing team and kind of just the showrunners to kind of keep Oliver relevant, keep juggling everything else pretty effectively.
Are the non-Oliver centric flashbacks working?
So I heard there's a Slade one, but I haven't seen that episode. Beyond that, there really aren't that many flashbacks.
Oh, okay.
There have been maybe like one or two so far, beyond whichever one happened this last week. So it's been pretty light on flashbacks.
That's probably a good call.
Yeah, they were flashback heavy for the first couple episodes because they had to flashback to the whole island blowing up thing to kind of catch you up on what happened, because they do a time jump at the beginning of the season. But then it kind of just stopped. Everything was like, okay, this is everything happening here, right here in the now. Okay.
And pardon the spoilers for those who haven't watched it, but you know, always come back if you have. It's my understanding that the only casualty is Speedy. And that's because Will Holland only wants to do so many episodes a year.
Yeah. She's basically in a coma. I mean, she's not dead, but she's in a coma, and yeah, everybody else survived.
Yeah.
But they all come back with, at least a few of them come back with some baggage that kind of drives a lot of their personal story throughout the season. So, and they're making good use of, God, what's her name? Why am I blanking now? Laurel's, double
Black Siren.
Yeah. Forget the actress's name now, but I think they're using her pretty effectively in interesting ways. So yeah.
Yeah, that's good to hear.
I think it's a different, because the flashbacks are over. It's like they've moved on a little bit. And you kind of get that, and they're trying some new things, and it's been fun.
Well, they've been over for a few years because they frankly just didn't do them very well.
sure, yeah. I guess the excuse is gone. So they've caught up the timeline to fill in.
Yeah.
After Oliver disappeared, so they've yeah. There's really no excuse anymore.
Yeah. I know Elicity is back. I don't.
Yeah, but it's not, there's no drama around that.
Which is why it doesn't work.
Yeah. I mean, it's like they, especially in season, whatever that was, 3 and 4, when all that was going on, they had to build up so much drama around it. Between them and, you know, have all these difficulties and then the lying and the hiding of secrets and whatever. This season's kind of like, yeah, we're sort of dating, but Oliver's really busy with other things and Felicity's really busy with other things. So it's just kind of, we're not going to spend so much time with this. So they're just kind of like, okay, fans, you wanted this, here you go. But we don't really care. There's more important things to do. Here we're going to go off into the story now.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah, they're making Curtis. I feel like Curtis is more relevant, Mr. Terrific. Wild Dog has like cemented himself as part of the cast, believe it or not. you know, it's working for me. It's working.
They had something there. It's pretty clear, and they recognized it. So kudos to them on that.
Yeah.
Ragman was the opposite, and they realized that too.
And he's gone.
Like, we have a lot of characters in the show, and you're lame. Go home. Go away. Your guy wears bad clothing.
What do you think of Ralph Dibny in The Flash?
I was about to go there. I love him. The Jim Carrey take is different than I understand Ralph Dibny.
Same.
But that's yeah. Because I mean, I suspect both of our exposure to him is the Identity Crisis guy.
Yeah.
Who had a really bad 8-issue run there. Bad things happen.
I guess on the Justice League cartoon, there's a couple of scenes where he has like one or two lines, and he's a little bit similar to what he's like on The Flash.
Oh, okay.
For what it's worth.
Yeah. No, I'm really enjoying him.
Yeah, yeah, it brings a different vibe to the team. Different kind of thing.
I think Wally has been a nice subtraction.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because I think this the character has potential, but I was telling my wife this the other day, like I almost kind of wish they had like a parallel story, like a Nightwing to the Batman type of thing, where they would maybe weave together every five episodes or so. You know, I thought that would have been a cool idea and a better use of Wally, because he's got the same powers. Like, what are they going to use with him for? You know, like, where are they going with this?
Yeah, and that is the problem. They just don't know what to do with him, because he's Barry.
Yeah, I mean,
but with DC's a ridiculous costume.
They killed Barry for like a decade,
right?
And had Wally running around, so. I don't understand why the CW didn't see this coming, that this is going to be an issue.
Yeah. I think they've handled it pretty well until now. And now that he really just – he's just a total spare wheel. He basically acknowledges it and you know, he's –
At least with Jesse Quick, they had an excuse because she was from a different Earth. But
right. Plus, they were doing some bizarre shit with his hair in that first episode. I don't know what that was.
I swear his hairstyle changed like every scene that he was in. He had a different hairstyle.
That may be correct. I think you might. if it's not exactly true, it's very close to being 100% true. Probably like 92.3. It was very weird. stay well, Wally West.
Yeah.
All right. Well... let's see.
Any Keyshawn sightings?
No, I was just, I started thinking about Justice League and I got like, oh.
Oh, yeah. Next week. We're less than a week away.
Yeah, since we're making this the DC episode unexpectedly.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
Have you heard the piece of information that Joss Whedon cut like 30 to 40 minutes out of this thing?
No. Whoa.
Yes.
Wow.
That does not bode well, but it doesn't surprise me.
Man. I mean, I was reading some early buzz, and it seems like it's all over the place. Like, some people really like it. Some people don't like it. Some people didn't like it, but they thought it was a good direction for the franchise. At least there wasn't, like, outright universal derision. So that's a start.
Oh, God. Let's see here. See if I can't find this actual film. This is worth actually getting out there. 40 minutes. Yeah, it's something absurd like that. Oh man. Now I'm seeing a rumor that they cut a villain.
What? I thought what? I mean, I guess.
Oh, Luther has been removed.
Oh. Oh, okay. Sure.
I guess, yeah, but I mean, oh my God. I mean, that's probably the correct thing to do, given what a mess this thing looked like. And I mean, the initial runtime was sounded like, I think it was like almost 3 hours.
It's like Blade Runner, but.
I guess. I don't even know what I would compare that to. I can't think of a superhero film that has that kind of precedent for just going that crazy long. There's probably a good reason why.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not hopeful. I'm curious. Well, like I told you guys last episode, I am not planning to go see it. But certainly not in the theater. But
Well, I'll go see it, so... I'll be able to report back.
Okay.
Let you all know.
You're a good man.
I'm guessing that there'll be pieces there that are really good that, you know, will be picked up on subsequent films, but Who knows? A lot of people are worried about the Flash, but honestly, I'm the least worried about the Flash.
he looked from what little we've seen, he looks tonally correct.
Yeah.
So
they're kind of blending Barry and Wally a little bit in his personality, maybe, but
yeah.
I think that's fine. Yeah.
Well, he's the youngest one, right?
Yeah.
I feel like in these montage team films that there's always someone like that, and they just decided to make that guy the Flash.
Yeah, sure.
And you know, given Wonder Woman's immortality, Superman's very mortality.
Don't forget, the mustache now counts as a superpower.
The digitally edited mustache. The super stash. And
that's one of the things I'm most curious about. Like, how bad or good does this look? Like, what are we going into here?
Yeah. I don't know.
Is there like a shadow that's just constantly on him? Like,
I want to see that contract for MI6.
Yeah.
They're like, you may know this is a part of you now. You cannot take this ever. That's a thorough ass contract.
Yeah, man. Like, how did they develop this character from MI6? Like,
well, this, like, is this with his facial hair.
Yeah, like,
and it built out.
Is it like really, really integral to his personality? They couldn't put like a fake one on? Like, does the plot
hinge? Yeah, I don't know. Well, it's the sixth installment of Mission Impossible, so I want to tell you there's a possibility it does. we might have gotten to that level of absurdity. Cruise is 50 fucking five, for God's sakes.
Oh, man, I watched The Mummy on a plane.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Man, what a stinker. I mean, it's not the worst movie I've ever seen, but... glad I didn't pay for it in the theater.
Yeah. But like how bad?
Not the spirit bad.
Okay. Well,
so we're just going to go ahead and establish that bar down there.
Okay.
A low bar there. Shoot. I kind of feel like I came away with the same sense of like meh as like, actually on the same flight I watched, or the second flight right after it, I watched Ghost in the Shell. So it was just kind of like, well, all the pieces are here, but it didn't really gel. Like, they just kind of tried to add it all together, these like various pieces that they needed to kind of put together to like try to kickstart this universe. And you know, Russell Crowe was kind of interesting as Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, but beyond that, it's like, guys, you didn't really... the magic didn't happen here.
I've been seeing clickhole article titles about how their quote unquote dark universe is already dead.
Yeah.
Which I'm not surprised one bit by.
It's just sad. Yeah. They're trying really hard. And I think, you know, kudos to Marvel. Like, they didn't try to rush it, I guess. Maybe that's due to they didn't have the confidence, or you know, didn't get the business backing. I mean, there's just little tag scenes here and there, but it was built organically. I don't think a lot of these companies are taking the time to do that.
You have to focus on the properties individually.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, like, there's a lot of behind the scenes work to get them to coalesce that, like, the MCU has done, but if they don't stand on their own, I mean, just, eh.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, you're better off like watching the Brendan Fraser Mummy and Mummy Returns, and then go watch Monster Squad.
That first one is delightful.
Yeah.
I'm willing to die on that hill.
I'm with you. And then go watch Monster Squad if you want to see a bunch of the characters put together.
So there you go. We're going way back in the machine. Yeah. I don't think it bodes well for this Justice League movie that Aquaman is probably the second biggest character in it.
Yeah,
I mean, at some level, yeah, I'm glad Aquaman's getting his due, but, you know.
Yeah.
It's Aquaman.
It just doesn't feel like it's coming together the way Avengers did.
No.
You know, that was really special. I'm just saying, you know, people have tried to replicate it since then many times. Even Marvel themselves, like on TV with the Defenders and whatever. it's like, it's hard to do.
Yeah.
So kind of on this topic, so normally for Marvel, at least in my, just from the top of my head, in my memory, the May film of the following year comes out right around Thanksgiving. The trailer for the May film comes around Thanksgiving. So are we going to get an Infinity War trailer in like 2 weeks?
I was expecting to see it with The Last Jedi.
Oh, maybe just because it's that big of a deal that they're going to wait.
well, that and Disney owns everything.
Everything. All right.
Oh, that was the news that I almost forgot that we should really talk about. They're trying to buy 20th Century Fox.
Yes, right. How can we forget?
Yeah.
Yeah. I just don't see how they're going to meld those universes together, though. Like, they're going to have to come up with some reality-bending reason.
Many years ago now, Scott Kurtz on the now-defunct Commodores podcast pointed out that it's amazing that that universe has endured as long as it did in print, because it doesn't make sense that you have a world with the Avengers that hates the X-Men. And I had never thought about it until he pointed that out. It's like, this is super dumb.
Yeah.
That Kitty Pryde is somehow reviled and the Hulk is a hero.
Yeah.
That doesn't really work.
Yeah. I mean, they got a lot of talented people. I'm sure they'll figure it out if and when it ever happens. Yeah. But
yeah,
just with the whole Marvel Cinematic Universe being so far in, I mean, I think it'll be 22 films by the time Avengers 4 is done or something like that. Like,
that sounds right-ish.
It's a lot of history, man. That's
yeah.
You know, that's 2 days. You know, more than 2 days straight of film, like just watching those movies, like. Without stopping, like that's a lot of hours.
They passed Peter Jackson.
Finally.
Well, actually, if you count all three Hobbit movies, I guess they haven't, but they're getting close.
Yeah, it's a lot of content. So you know they have that all that history built up. How do you just throw in literally between Fantastic Four and X-Men, like huge, you know, chunks of. The comic book universe and very important characters, overpowered characters, or mm-hmm. you know, there's a lot of conflicts there. It's, you know, we're talking about a movie universe here with superheroes, but come on, it's a lot of work to try to integrate that back in.
Oh yeah, I mean it's been so established. You know, the universe that we know has existed for over 10 years in real time, and we've not heard of mutants. That's just weird.
Yeah. So they're just going to start cropping up all of a sudden?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, right? That's the thing. I think the interesting this came up once before in the Ultimate Universe, in the publishing line. And in that version, the Avengers exist as a mutant response team.
True.
That was their reason for being. I thought that was really clever, but that's out the window now because they evidently would have come first.
Yeah. I don't know.
Although, counterpoint, the historical precedent is there. X-Men is one of the last Marvel titles from the 60s.
Okay, so maybe they just make everybody really young or something. Yeah. If they integrate them into the universe.
Right.
Like Kid X-Men, recast everybody, you know, just play it that way. And
yeah. Yeah. Well, just like it was back in the, you start with the first five, for real.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah,
it's a possibility.
Yeah, it's a very interesting what if. We'll see what happens, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, now I don't know if they're actually like going forward with the purchase. I guess talks have stalled. Yada mm-hmm. yada yada. Who knows?
Yeah, stuff like that's always very fluid.
Yeah,
I wonder if they leaked to see what the response would be.
Yeah, good point.
That's definitely a thing.
So do we want to talk about Ragnarok Is yeah, he we do. Like a, okay. So I guess you were a little bit more lukewarm about it compared to some other folks that I saw reacting to the film.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Well, I don't know how much rewatch value it's got. I really enjoyed it, but I feel like the Marvel films that, you know, the top fives, that short list, are the ones that I could see myself just watching the shit out of. Mm-hmm. And I don't see that with Ragnarok. In fact, I think that second act is a little slow.
Yeah, I can see that.
The first feeling, which means upon rewatch, it's probably really slow.
Yeah, because it's less new, so you just kind of...
Yeah, it's a lot of Goldblum being Goldblum, and a lot of like Thor trying to convince people to be a team, even though they don't want to be a team.
Come on, Asperg, that was a great joke.
It was good, but I'm not sure how much I can watch him like try to get Valkyrie to be his not girlfriend. Like, oh, I am done with this.
Yeah, I'll have to rewatch it.
For a first time popcorn movie, it's great.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely want to rewatch and see how I feel going through it a second time.
Yeah.
Korg was really interesting.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, it was good to see Planet Hulk like get its due.
Yeah.
That was a great storyline.
Yeah. And then at the end with Asgard or the people of Asgard just kind of being displaced, I wonder if they're going back to the J. Michael Straczynski like Asgard in Oklahoma type of storyline. If that's where they're headed or what.
Well, from what we know of Avengers 3, excuse me. They find Thor floating in space, right? So something bad's about to happen, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Well, that big ship shows up, which I assume is Thanos or someone Thanos adjacent.
Right.
Although, did Thor have both of his eyes in that? I mean,
I haven't seen the footage.
I saw some blurry cam stuff. Yeah. So I don't know, but it is kind of, you know, with Asgard displaced, that there's not too many storylines where that happens in the comics. So I'm curious where they'll take that.
I really enjoyed the Scourge.
Yeah.
I really, really enjoyed that he named his guns after the Dallas Cowboys.
And Keyshawn's not here to talk about this.
I know. That's such a shame.
But personal T'Challa brew right there on screen.
Total nod to Walter. And I was like, yes. Double fist pump. One for me and one for Key. Because I knew how much that meant to him.
Yeah.
The Idris Elba sword. That thing was badass. Yeah. The nicest designs I've seen for a weapon in a while, game or et cetera, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's 15 Final Fantasies. There's been a lot of sword designs over the years.
I mean, 7 had like 12 sword designs on its own.
Right? for some concept artist to like to reinvent the wheel at this point, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah.
The unceremonious.
I like that he had stuff to do.
Oh, yeah. That was nice. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. He was kind of like a side character in this one, but it was good that he was definitely integrated in the plot. I was going to say the Warriors 3 had a very unceremonious end.
Oh, I know.
Holy crap.
It felt like a classic Marvel comic from the Bronze Age in that way. Strange was there. Hulk was there.
Yeah, it's true.
There was a lot of cross-pollination for a non-Avengers film.
Yeah, yeah.
Or I guess the first Avengers film, depending how you want to talk about it.
If they start working Wonder Man into this shit, that's going to be crazy.
He had been cast, no?
Really?
Maybe
there was like a Nathan Fillion like in-joke in the back of one of
the... Oh, okay. Maybe that's from partially recalling. I did like it for sure. I don't know how how endearing it'll be over the time, because it's very by the notes as far as the narrative. God, Blanchette was great.
Yeah, she was.
We saw we saw different acting gears from both her and Hemsworth. Now, Hemsworth is not on her level, obviously, but but yeah, you know, he's not. Yeah, I mean, previously he's been there because the dude's ripped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he really leaned into the comedy side of stuff. And I hope Hela comes back somehow in a new future movie, because having Cate Blanchett be a one-off just doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, although I fear she is.
What a bummer.
It says something to the state of Hollywood that we're seeing these major thespians in Marvel villain roles this year.
Yeah.
This thing that the only movies you can get made now are $20 million or $200 million has put these Oscar winners in the point, well, if I want to make more than one movie, I'm going to have to be in a Marvel flick this year.
So I got three Marvel movies that I can try for in a year. I've got to try to get one of these.
Right, because you can't put, you know, Blanchett or a Keaton in a $20 million film, because they eat half their budget with their salary alone.
True, true.
So you can't do that. So you're like, all right. I mean, either one of like the one that they think is Oscar bait, or I have to be Hela. That's a very strange place to be, but it works to Disney's advantage.
I suppose, yeah.
Yeah. And we're seeing in their other properties now, too. Woody Harrelson isn't fucking Han Solo. So.
Yeah, right. I mean, the fact that Anthony Hopkins plays Odin for three movies.
Three times.
I mean, right.
He's great. Oh, I loved him as pretending to be Loki.
Right, yes.
He crushed that. He's great. Oh, shit.
And the cameos, the Matt Damon, the Liam Hemsworth, and the Sam Neill cameos in that scene were great, too.
Yeah. There was a lot to like about that movie.
I read that Chris Hemsworth, was just like, oh, you need somebody to play Loki? How about my mate? And they're like, who's your mate? And they're like, oh, Matt Damon. I'll just call him. He'll come on down. They're like, yeah, right. Yeah, go ahead, call him. And he just flew down for 2 days, did the scene, and then left. And it was cool with it.
Oh, boy. Did we miss anything? You liked it quite a bit, huh?
I liked it quite a bit. I've only seen it once, so I am curious to kind of watch it again and see, you know, kind of based on what you were saying about how rewatchable is it, and that middle act. What is it? How does it feel going back and seeing them kind of try to escape Sakaar and get things moving back again? But yeah, I mean, I can't think of any other part of the movie that we hadn't touched that was of note.
I did like the tone.
Yeah,
it was a fairly brave choice.
Yes, for sure.
No.
For sure.
And But I still, but like Homecoming, by way of comparison, that thing I could see me watching the hell out of that over and over again.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. I mean, I've seen it four times since it came out on home video, I think.
Nice, yeah. Yeah, I should probably that's probably worth buying. Yeah, I think that one and John Wick Chapter 2 this year are the two that.
Oh yeah.
Are just the plug and play. You know what I mean? Where you're doing something around the house, and you're like, "What you want background noise?" I'm putting in Spider-Man.
Right on, right on.
We got Black Panther. So Black Panther, Avengers, and then what's the third one coming out next year?
Ant-Man the Wasp.
Oh, okay. Here's my question about that movie. Do you think that they'll Michelle Pfeiffer will be pissed at Hank for not finding her?
Ooh.
You think they'll play
possibly.
It that way?
Possibly.
To preserve that tension that we know from the comic book so well?
It's a good question. I could see that. I mean, yeah, I don't know.
I think one big happy family again is
oh, that's not going to happen.
Is what everyone's thinking or expecting, but it doesn't feel like it makes a lot of sense or even rings true. So,
yeah, I wonder if time will have passed for her in the same way as the rest of the characters, and maybe that will have an effect, and she'll be a little bit of a fish out of water. Or, I mean, beyond the fact that she's been gone for decades, like, was it like a second for her, or was it, you know, as the, you know, as same amount of time as people on Earth?
It was like looking in a time hole. I've been falling for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm intrigued by that one.
Yeah. New territory, really, I mean.
Yeah, it is. Really curious to see how Black Panther plays, too.
Man, those trailers have me so hyped. I am very, very excited.
Yeah. But I guess this speaks to what we were just talking about, but the cast is ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of tangentially related, like, Ta-Nehisi Coates' run on Black Panther, I'm not fully caught up, but I think I'm one or two trades behind. But what I've read, it's awesome. Like, really, really well done, really well thought out. Like, the story is really engaging, really having a fun time reading that one. So if they borrow even just, like, pieces of that and kind of form their own story, like, it should be great.
That's cool. Good to hear.
And I think they're expanding. Like, Evan Narcisse, he's a writer for IO9. He's kind of, they're starting, I heard about this at New York Comic Con. They're starting a book with him, kind of telling the story of previous Black Panthers, I think, like the history of the Black Panther. So I think Black Panther's starting to get a little bit of a renaissance on the comic book side to kind of coincide with the movie. Should be some cool stories there.
That's a good idea. That's one of those things. Like, I'm surprised they're just not, well, I'm not really, it's had such a checkered past trying to get it published, but
I mean, if there ever were a time, now's the time.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
All right. So here's my follow-up question. Completely non sequitur, but how many sittings did you finish Stranger Things 2 in?
Well, my wedding anniversary was in the middle of the time when it came out, so we had to do some other anniversary related things. But it took us maybe two sittings to get it all the way through, maybe three.
Okay. Something. See, like, I that. Thought you were going to be like, wait, we had to show some major restraint here, but you're like, no, three. It just took you a while to get those sittings in, I guess, is what I'm gathering.
Yeah. There was like a sitting, and then there was like a several day break, and then there was a sitting, and then we had like the last 20 minutes of the last episode, and then we watched that again, something like that. We were done. My wife had not seen the first of the show.
Oh.
But like until like a week before her
these people
two
exist.
Came out. Yeah. So, well, she doesn't like scary things so much. So she's kind of like, well, I don't know. Season two is coming up. So right before season two came out, she's like, I'll watch the first episode. And then at the end of the day, she's like, well, that was a good first season.
Yeah. I think, that's right. I remember her tweeting that. I meant to reply that it's not that kind of scary.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, there's a couple jump scares here and there, but overall, it's not that bad.
Yeah, I'm not that kind of person either, and I've had no problem with it whatsoever.
So what did you think of season two?
I really liked it. We did it in three sittings, but we were done by the following day it came out.
Nice.
We had plans with friends that got sick. So all of a sudden our schedule got really clear when it right came out. Like, well, all right, I guess we're watching Stranger Things. I'm sorry my friends got sick, but it was I guess fortuitous timing.
I suppose, yeah.
I thought it was excellent. God, where do I even start?
I mean, Steve had a very interesting through line this season, I feel. Maybe we can start there.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I did not see that coming, and it was fantastic. Totally unexpected. And a show known for being all about the tropes.
Yeah. Yeah. I was worried that, like, what do you do with him? He's, like, not the trash boyfriend anymore. What the hell are they going to do with this character? And they turn him into a babysitter. That was pretty awesome.
Oh, that was the destination. He had this whole amazing character journey that was just fantastic. And it made sense. And the actor nailed it. And it was just like, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. In some ways, that's the most impressive thing they did. I thought the relationships were super realistic and really done well top to bottom. Even more so than season one, which did a really good job with that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's maybe what I would laud it the most for. Nancy going through a breakup and, you know, because of a trauma. And then the 11 Mad Max jealousy thing that makes total sense. Didn't see it coming, but I was like, oh yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like the whole thing with her connection to I forget what the character's actual name is, but number 8, I think that I felt like that was, yeah, Callie. There we go. I feel like
with a K.
Yeah. Like Callie, like the Indian.
Yes. which I'm surprised most people have not like pointed out that what was going on there.
Yeah. Weird. Okay. I just feel like it was a little disjoint. Like I wanted more of Kali, or, you know, just kind of in general weaving more of those like characters and that, like, where she came from, how did she, you know, are there other people, clearly there are other people like her in 11, you know, kind of hint towards something, kind of in it, just mesh it better with the rest of the story. And it felt like, okay, 11 is gonna, you know, leave for a while and she has her own thing and we need this character, but then it's kind of over.
Episode 7, The Lost Sister, is the most debated episode of anything this year outside of the next to last episode of Game of Thrones. And it's almost as hateful. And I think it was because they made the choice to make it an episode start to finish rather than weaving it in.
Yeah, if they had
That's why it feels so damn abrupt.
I can see that.
Because as you may recall, we have that big cliffhanger with the Demodogs having their jailbreak right before that. And then it cuts over this whole other thing.
And I get it. If you're binging it, you know, it's whatever you're going to get back to before you know it. But I'm starting to kind of feel like they shouldn't be designing these shows to be binged. Like there's some value in a little bit of breathing room. And with an episode like that so deep in, I think maybe it's more likely than less that people are going to have they're going to take a break between sittings and something, you know, a portion of people are going to be kind of like, wait, what? why aren't we going back to what's happening with the Demodogs? And it's risky. Like you said, I think it might have been better if they had woven that in somehow, you know, half of an episode with what's going on in Hawkins, half an episode with what's going on with 11 or something like that.
Yeah. The other thing, well, where I'll definitely defend it is you have to have that, because that's where 11 learns how to use her powers.
True.
Callie is presented to me in my head. The Lost Sister was the Empire Strikes Back part of this thing, but Callie represents both Yoda and Darth Vader.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so that's another 80s reference they were pulling from, but they smushed it into one character. Very, very Magneto-like, actually.
Yes, that's what I was thinking, actually, with the whole, tap into your anger to use your powers type thing. I was definitely getting an X-Men First Class type of vibe from those scenes.
Yeah, I almost felt like he was lifted directly, but it was so important because she can't save the day at the conclusion of the series without, you know, her having mastered the ability to do what she does.
Yeah, she definitely needed that journey. I totally agree.
Yeah. So, I mean, you have to have that. So I've heard it argued that they shouldn't just have had her at all, and I could not disagree more.
No, yeah, I definitely agree with you. I wouldn't say that for sure. I just think they needed to mesh it better into the rest of the show.
It definitely does stick out, but I think if that's the worst thing you can say about it, I don't know.
Yeah, it's still a really good season. Yeah, for
sure. I mean, yeah, I still think the episode works.
Yeah, I think it as a self-contained story, in a sense, yeah, for sure it works. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right on.
The Duffer brothers have mentioned that they kind of almost backed themselves into a corner with the end of season one, where they left all these things open and they're like, well, shit, now we got to go pick these things back up. why, God damn it. Why do we have them leaving? Let Eggos in the woods. Now we got to explain that. Which is why part of the reason is in this second series, we get such a finite ending.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause they're like, we are not going through this crap again. Everybody's having a, everyone's getting a girl and we're all going to the dance.
I got to say, for like the middle of Indiana in the 80s, that was like the most elaborate dance setup for like a middle school I have ever seen in my life. That thing had production values that like rival some concerts.
Yeah. Yeah. It is for middle school, right?
They were,
Yeah. I think it's a shame they didn't give Mike more to do.
Yeah, he was kind of just whining the entire time.
Yeah, he was very just kind of there being emo. And then I guess he gets his shit together later on, but it's like a little underserved. But I mean, when you have a cast that big.
Yeah, someone's going to suffer, I suppose.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, everybody had a subplot. All the other kids had a subplot. Even Maxine, who's new. Everyone kind of had something to do except Mike, who was just kind of mopey until 11 showed back up.
Yeah, I thought they were going somewhere deeper with Max and Billy.
Yeah, me too. I thought
not just our dad's a dick.
Yeah. I thought they were tied into the whole Hawkins lab somehow for a couple
episodes. Or something, right? And they're like, nah, our dad just is kind of an asshole.
Yeah.
That was super weird.
Yeah.
Maybe on some level more appropriate because not everybody should be.
True.
Something weird going on. But yeah, I don't know. That was a little odd, but again.
Really solid though. Netflix definitely has something going on here. They,
Oh yeah.
Real good.
They're not releasing their numbers, but people have been trying to extrapolate stuff on the side. And it sounds like it's like one of the biggest shows of the year, if not the biggest, like Game of Thrones numbers.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. They definitely did not fall down on their face with, this second season.
And, with the whole rumors of the Disney's upcoming streaming service and stuff, Netflix needs these kind of more homegrown hits if they're going to be competitive, because as soon as all the Marvel stuff moves over to Disney and then they'll have like Star Wars stuff there, it's just going to be a freaking juggernaut of a streaming service.
Right.
So,
And to me personally, with their no ads model, I want Netflix to win this coming, post cable war that's coming.
Yes.
I mean, hell, it's already here, right? To be fair.
Yeah, more or less. Yeah. I think just once the big companies really start to weigh in, like the Disneys of the world.
Yeah.
CBS
has already got All Access.
Yeah. Apparently it's hot garbage. Offerings and
I've heard good things about The Good Fight, but I've never seen it nor its predecessor. I've made my feelings about STD abundantly clear.
And just like, you don't get their full back catalog. You pay $10 a month.
It still has ads to it.
With commercials, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, really? Like, I've read some articles saying that it's really not about bringing people to the service so much as just kind of, giving CBS some more data as to where this is going and kind of having a different vehicle for boosting ratings in certain ways and like some weird advertiser math and stuff like that. I don't know.
I'm glad they have a plan.
I guess.
Not just hey, getting your little hamsters and do what you're gonna do. We want to watch. Yeah, The thing with Trek, and I've had time to cool down off my initial hot take a little bit, that bothers me is because it everyone keeps comparing it to that first bizarre and slash terrible season of The Next Generation back in 87.
Oh,
but that's from a different time. That's when you had 23 episodes, and you're kind of making the back half of it up as you go. That's not what this is anymore. This is 13 episodes, and it very much has a beginning, middle, and end. So you don't get to have episodes where you just fuck around.
Yeah, and I mean, how many years has this thing been in development?
62, I think.
I mean, it just seems like they should have their shit together. They should be
especially when you look at they put so much money into this thing.
Yeah,
it looks really good. I have to give them that.
That's good,
but. They just there was nothing there that makes any sense.
Jesus.
I mean, they have in literally the second episode, there was like a telepathic conversation with her and a Vulcan across just infinite amount of light years.
Wow!
And I'm like, how does that even work?
He's like, this is before Kirk, man.
I don't. What the fuck? That's some mind meld you got there, Sarek.
Yeah,
it's just, oh.
Somebody pay for the long distance plan.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, it is hot garbage. That's, which is a shame, because they had some great people working on it. I'm a huge Jason Isaacs guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I couldn't last long enough for him to show up. Oh, and then she goes to jail, and then she has the Mr. Glass haircut. So that you know that it's hard to be alive in jail. And I don't know. Yeah, it's not good. Our wait for a worthwhile Star Trek continues, unfortunately.
Man, I mean, with a streaming service like that and the budget and stuff, it's almost like they could have made two different shows, and they could have done a lot of stuff. They really could have done a lot of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, Trek is not Star Wars, but it's got a big base. The fact that they don't realize that is a little like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah. I feel like Star Trek isn't really coming back in as big a way as like Star Wars is just, exploding. I mean, it's been for a while, but
no, well, the problem is that it's been in the hands of guys that like Star Wars and directed The Fast and the Furious. So, yeah.
Do you feel like Star Trek is it right now is like kind of in its Phantom Menace kind of episode 1, 2, 3 type of days where things are, content is being made, but the enthusiasm isn't quite there?
Much like with the prequels. Where Star Wars didn't feel like Star Wars, Trek does not feel like Trek right now.
Hmm.
Troubled times of ours. There's plenty of allegorical stuff they could run with. It's a lot of fodder for fiction that they're just like, nope, doing Lord of the Rings in space. Okay. Good luck with that. Not your strongest play, but
it's a play. It's an approach, I suppose.
Yeah, it's the weirdest thing I've heard this year from pop culture outside of the Cavill mustache debacle, which we referenced earlier. No, you cannot shave it.
That mustache better be glorious, man. I'm waiting for that MI6 trailer now.
It better fix my marriage. If it was not to be like touched, only to be admired. I think I asked before. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to mention. Aaron and I have really gotten into Outlander here.
Oh,
and we're in the midst of its third season. And I couldn't recall if anyone else had joined us in that plunge.
I haven't seen any of it yet. I hear good things, but not just from you, but the coverage and the press has been good, but haven't taken the plunge myself.
I'm going to try out live. Well, not live, but on this recording here, my, I come up with a quick little test to see if you can, would be into it. I'm going to give you, okay. We're going to play word association here. Okay.
Okay.
Kate Austin.
Kate Austin. I don't know. I just come up with like some weird Jane Austen type of,
to refresh you, that's Evangeline Lilly's character from Lost.
Right, right. So that's kind of part of the, that's the kind of vibe of the main character of the show? Like a Kate Austin thing? Okay.
Yes.
That's not bad.
So she's very three-dimensional.
Okay.
But, oh man, do you want to smack her half the time?
Well, I went through 6 seasons of Lost, so...
Okay.
I enjoyed it. So.
Okay, but I, as I recall, but we have other members of our crew who shall go nameless that had a much more contentious relationship with Lost.
Sure. Yeah.
And I know Kate and her tendency to not make the best choices in life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Drove part of the subculture crazy.
Yeah.
And Claire Randall / Fraser is has got a little bit of the Kate in her.
Mm.
Yeah. I will say this. It surprises me that it legitimately has a more gruesome antagonist than Ramsay Snow.
Whoa, what?
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Yeah, well, Black Jack Randall, played by almost too good by Tobias Menzies, is he's hard to watch at times because he's just that evil.
Huh.
Yeah, that's where he goes level wise. Just to he gets there and then he goes past it.
Jeez.
Yeah. There's some episodes that are really tough to watch.
Huh. Yeah. And this is on Showtime?
Stars,
okay.
CW with a budget.
I never heard it called that, but yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
It's pretty much what it is. Yeah.
I'm surprised they haven't gotten into the superhero game.
They've been playing the historical pseudo historical docudrama racket.
They had like
pretty well.
Black Sails or something like that, mm-hmm. Right?
Didn't Black Sails, them? That's them.
Is Spartacus them?
Spartacus is them.
Ah.
Vikings is not. I think that's History Channel, weirdly enough.
I just learned about this show and they were like, is that on AMC? No, no, it's on History Channel. I'm like, History Channel.
Yeah, AMC really changed the game. Everyone's like, we got to get one of those shows that everyone talks about, even if it's only one.
Freaking History Channel, man.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, so, yeah. They have, and then they've got like a bunch of the Philippa Gregory stuff translated. The White Queen, the White Princess.
Okay.
Yeah, if it happened in England and involved the royals, it's pretty good chance it's on Stars.
All right, so at least they got their own kind of, you know, identity. They've got their own shtick.
Very much so. Very much so. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, but much like CW does. I mean, that was kind of a backhanded compliment, but I do like CW.
Yeah, same. I mean, I don't watch outside of the superhero stuff. I'm curious. I'm Riverdale curious, but I haven't watched it yet. I'd like to try
it. Erin's been watching it, and she likes it.
Okay.
She don't love it, but she says it's pretty solid.
Okay. I watched a couple episodes of iZombie and I forget why I bounced off of it, but it wasn't because I thought the show was bad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not watching any of the other like weird military drama stuff they've got and the other stuff. But in general, it seems like CW has, you know, like we were just talking about, they have their own vibe, they have their own shtick, they're going after their own type of audience, and that's great. We need more of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, they're very brave. I mean, they've got a lot of things that haven't stuck for more than a year or two.
But at least they're trying it, you know?
Yeah, no, I'm okay. And they're like, well, that didn't work. On to the next thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's minimal drama with that bullshit. They just, it either works or it doesn't. And they just, they double down and now somehow we have 13 years of Supernatural.
Yes.
Or, you know, you just like, you just like, yeah, we did Beauty and the Beast for a year. Right. It was not good. Rest of all, Christian Kirk.
Yeah, you don't hear like all these write-in campaigns or anything, or people like going and wailing and moaning about it. It's just like, oh, it was here and it's gone.
Right. There's no CW Broncos.
Yeah. For better or worse.
Right. Well, I think they've got it right. The stuff that sticks seems to have an audience, and if it doesn't, it just doesn't.
Yeah. And at least they're pretty supportive of the stuff that, you know, resonates. I mean, they don't get like huge, massive ratings on their shows, but if people are watching it, they keep it around. They support it.
Yeah. Now, Riverdale is interesting. You mentioned it. My understanding is it's doing very well with a demographic of people that no longer watch television.
Huh.
So they've been very pleased with it.
Fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah. That younger generation that only watches YouTube and Netflix apparently digs Riverdale.
Okay. Huh.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I would not have expected that.
I mean, I think that was always their hope, but you know.
Yeah. You know, so something stuck.
Yeah, exactly. Our Archie is indeed timeless.
Man, to me, conceptually, that is a bizarre thing to be saying in 2017, but hey, here we are.
It's been that kind of weird-ass year.
Yeah, to say the least.
Yeah. The year is going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Because I've been trying to think of like my short list for awards, and I'm like, oh, I don't have anything here, or I have too many things here, and yeah.
Yeah, maybe it's just a lumpy year, you know? Some things have a lot, some like a ton of an overabundance, and some things are pretty dry.
Very true.
I assume that's why you were listening to Taylor Swift earlier as you tweeted that.
Oh, God. No, I just thought I should, because I mean, she is one of the... She's one of the tastemakers in pop culture right now.
Mm-hmm.
That album, I mean, 1989 was a departure for her too, right?
Yeah.
She decided, all right, this teen country pop star decided she's going to like, you know, I'm going to make an 80s pop album.
Yeah.
But then she did a really good job with it. This is not a good album, unfortunately.
Oh.
It's a lot of Taylor making what it feels like, this kind of stuff that Britney Spears would have made 15 years ago.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah. And I'm like, I thought you were above this, to be honest.
Hopefully she's not on a fast track to Vegas.
Yeah, I know. Right. it's for someone who was trying to, you know, challenge Beyonce for supremacy.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. But I mean, she even like has like the dance montage in one of the new videos. I'm like, no, that's not you.
Yeah.
You have like supermodels, friends that do that shit for you. What's happening here? So, yeah. That was a bummer, to say the least. And also a strange way to spend an evening.
Yeah, I can't only imagine.
I was like, that was why I was tweeting. I was like, what has gone wrong in my life that I'm doing this? How did I get here? My own personal opening to Thor Ragnarok. How long was Immigrant Song stuck in your head after watching that movie?
Oh, it still is.
I'm just checking.
And I read that Taika Waititi, the director, he like played some part, some like previs or like trailer or something for Marvel execs before they decided to go ahead and make the movie. And they're like, that's a pretty catchy song. What is that song? He's like, it's Immigrant Song. It's Led Zeppelin. It's like one of the most famous songs.
Yeah. It's a depressing thing to end on, but that's, yeah. It's that's how old Led Zeppelin is. People don't remember them.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah. Yeah, rock is, I think rock is dead. And I don't know what to do with that except be really sad about it. But yeah, I was listening to a podcast earlier this year where, I mean, I knew Rock was in trouble, but I was listening to Bill Simmons and I think the CEO of Slack, of all people, they were like, yeah, I think rock has gone the way of jazz. I mean, it's still coming out, but
what?
It's no longer the way, it's no longer at the forefront of pop culture.
Oh, okay.
And if you look at that latest Imagine Dragons album.
Yeah, it's way less rock.
Yeah. I mean, they went in different ways, almost like no, we're not a rock band. Not at all. Yeah. It's like, oh, no. Yeah, I don't know.
Bizarre.
It's crazy to think about that. It may just be a dying pop art form.
I hope not. Hopefully we'll get a revival at some point.
Yeah. I mean, is it still my favorite? I mean, I like hip hop fine. I like dubstep, I like electronic, I like all that stuff, but...
Yeah, right on.
Rock is still my favorite when it's done well. But I don't even know who's making that shit anymore.
Me either, to be honest.
I also can't figure out these fucking streaming services. This is where I can tell I'm an old man. I cannot figure out how to get these things like to play things that I like.
Just got to find your local millennial, just go down to the corner, and they'll set you straight.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you still buy music or do you stream it only?
I buy it. I for whatever reason, the streaming, the Spotify stuff. I mean, I have a Spotify like free account or whatever and
okay.
Buy music and whatever, but and occasionally I use them, but I'm not a monthly subscriber. This is how I get my music now type thing.
Yeah.
I'm definitely starting to get old man-ish with when it comes to that stuff.
That's definitely where I'm at. It feels weird to not own music, at least in some form, digital or otherwise.
Yeah. I mean, I'm for sure all digital, but you know, it's yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess Spotify, you pay a certain amount, you can then pick the music. Otherwise I'm held hostage by an algorithm and I'm not okay with that.
Yeah. You can definitely play on demand stuff. Yeah. Once you pay.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. And I was like, well, at that point, should I just buy the damn thing?
Yeah. It's like, well, you know, month to month, it's less expensive than depending on how many albums you would buy in a regular month. I don't know. People just, you know, do the math on their own and decide how they want to do things.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess there's definitely a price point where it makes sense to do it that way. But
I think there's a social aspect of like making playlists for certain kind of vibes or moods or days or special events. And then people can share them on Spotify. So you can kind of get a better taste of people's music and that sort of thing. So
it's a reinvention of mixtape culture.
Yes. Yes. I think that's a huge part of what makes Spotify popular as well.
Oh, that's actually, that's really smart of them. That's pretty ingenious.
Yeah. And you can kind of share those publicly or privately. And yeah.
I mean, I'm not gonna, but it's nice to know it's there.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
My friend, have we left any stone unturned?
I don't think so.
I think we hit all the big ones outside of that last Jedi trailer, but be shitty of us to do with our key.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. So, yeah, we can wait for him.
Anything to plug?
Well, I'll just plug it again since now it's out and available at all major retailers and finer bookstores. You can go check out Supergirl Age of Atlantis by my wonderful, talented wife, Jo Whittemore. Book one of a 3-book series, so it's available on Kindle and Nook and any other ebook service in addition to hardcover. So please, everybody, go check it out. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, I did not realize it was the first in a planned trilogy until now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, nice.
I wish book two, I'm married to the author, I get a little preview. It's still being worked on right now, but it is awesome. I'm very excited.
That's cool.
I mean, book one is awesome too. Don't get me wrong. It really sets things up and has a really intriguing story. Book one, with the whole Atlantis angle, and there's superpowered citizens showing up in National City and so home of Supergirl. So you get this really cool kind of like multi-hero, multi-power vibe in book one. Definitely really cool. And then there's a character that gets introduced in book two that, anyway, I'm very excited, but I can't say anything. So that's my limit, but
That's honestly more than I thought you could say. So that's cool.
Characters show up in books, turns out, and then things happen. So that, you know, in general, you should be excited.
There is a plot, maybe two.
Exactly.
but I don't want to spoil.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's pretty awesome. So book one available now.
Awesome sauce. NYC was good to you guys?
Yeah. It was great. New York Comic Con was great. Lots of great folks out there. It's great to meet a lot of people and listen in on some of the comic book stuff too. Got to listen to, you know, the folks in Marvel and DC talk a little bit. So that was cool. In addition to seeing my wife up there on stage and talking about her stuff. It was pretty awesome. Cool.
Crazy busy.
Oh yeah. Oh Jesus.
Yeah.
The crowds, man.
Yeah.
Makes PAX look like, you know, a small show. It was nuts.
Oh geez.
Yeah. Yeah, Artist Alley alone was like packed. You could barely breathe down there at some points.
Yeah. Wow, okay. Although, yeah.
I mean, Javits Center's PAX pretty big.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah, but I PAX is more spread out now, so it's not quite as crazy as it was. But
True.
But I guess mistakenly had them kind of on, you know, within the same range, but maybe not.
Maybe they are. It definitely felt huge.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I'm going to go watch Outlander.
All right.
I have been Cyrus Mortazavi, and you can follow me at offcampuscomic.com. And you can follow this podcast at fullofsoundandfury.com or via subscription to iTunes. This has been a Rise Again production, copyright 2017.